Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Somebody asked me if I could explain the differences between things like theft and robbery, and suggested I could do that as like one of the catch-alls on a grab bag weekend show or something. And I said, actually, that's an extremely good question because, you know, we were all taught as children that you don't steal. You don't steal. But it takes an attorney to explain to you all the different ways you can't steal. And that's because there's so many different ways to steal because humans are so inventive, even the bad ones. And so there's a bunch of different things that you need to know about theft or stealing or what we call property crimes. And I'm not talking about real estate property. I'm talking about things, you know, things like whether it's an object, a widget, or money. So let's start talking about the idea of the crimes or the laws that get involved at common law with respect to theft. And I'm making a distinction because many states have codified or created laws that outline a lot of these things, and it'll actually make definitional distinctions that really aren't that important for us to know, especially because they're going to be different in every single state. So I mentioned before the blue books behind me are from Michigan. The shirt I'm wearing is from Los Angeles. Just thought I'd throw that in there, where I went to law school. But each state is going to have its own definitions and distinctions on this. But the ideas from the common law, the overarching ideas, are interesting, if nothing else. So the idea of theft, for instance, or stealing, at common law is referred to as larceny. Larceny. You've heard the phrase grand larceny and so on. But larceny is the common law property crime of, in essence, stealing. Okay, so if you steal something from somebody with no other facts, it's most likely going to be larceny. And this is something that goes back hundreds of years, other side of the pond where we get our common law from originally. But basically it is the taking and carrying away the personal property that belongs to someone else with the intent to deprive the person of that property permanently. Okay? Now, what's funny is you start thinking, going, wait, were all those definitions really necessary to say that stealing is bad? Well, I can't steal it if I don't take it from you. So we're both sitting at the table, the thing's sitting in front of you. If I didn't take it, I'm not really stealing it from you. And if I take something that belongs to me, it's not stealing. It's got to be belonging to somebody else. Now, some of these definitions might seem obvious, okay? But the idea that you're doing it with intent to deprive the other person of it permanently. So if I take something from you and I return it to you, that's not larceny necessarily. And if I take it with the intent that I'm going to return it later, again, that might not be larceny if I can prove that was my intent and a jury buys it, okay? So basic theft, think of this as larceny. You're stealing something from somebody. Now, here's the situation. There are things that can get put in here to kind of make this curve a little bit, and you start coming up with different ideas. So that's larceny. That's, think of that as the bottom rung. The next one up would be robbery. Robbery. So if I rob somebody, what's the difference between robbing somebody and stealing from somebody? Well, robbery is theft. Think of the previous definition, but accomplished by violence or the threat of violence. So the difference is the crime of robbery almost always requires that the victim is there and they're threatened with harm, okay? So if I walk into the room and your wallet is sitting on the table and you're nowhere to be seen, if I grab it and I run away, that's probably just larceny at common law. However, if I encounter you and I say, give me your wallet, or I'm gonna punch you in the face, and you give me your wallet, that'd be robbery because I threatened you. There's a threat of physical violence. You're there and I threatened you to get your thing from you. So the presence of the victim and the threat that's coupled with it, okay? And so for instance, you should probably also know that you've heard the phrase armed robbery. Many states will say, well, robbery is one type of crime. Armed robbery is worse, okay? So if I walked up to you and I said, give me your wallet or else, and you said, or else what? And I pulled out a gun or a knife or a bludgeon, which I learned today is also a noun, not just a verb. The things I learned while researching these videos. And If I said, you know, give me your wallet or I will shoot you. The fact that I'm involving a weapon in this is turning that into armed robbery. And again, you know, as you think about these things as being a scale or a spectrum or somewhere along some kind of line with gradations on it, you'd understand that as a society, we would punish you more if you used a gun to rob somebody than if you didn't. And we'd punish you more if you robbed somebody versus you just saw it sitting on the table and you took it, okay? I agree that the same thing might be getting stolen in every single one of these examples. But we, as a society, want to discourage the more severe crimes where injury is more likely to happen, for instance, than of the lesser crimes. You know, I understand that there's places on earth where if you steal something, you get your hand chopped off. But we don't do that here, okay? So, theft, robbery, armed robbery, okay? You understand those distinctions. Here's the question, burglary. Now, I mentioned burglary the other day, and I mentioned it at common law. Again, this is one that's going to actually be codified in most states. And in Michigan in particular, I mentioned before that shoplifting is codified as a specific type of crime. Believe it or not, at the common law, shoplifting actually sometimes looks like burglary because burglary at common law was the criminal offense of breaking and entering a building illegally for the purpose of committing a crime. Now, sometimes at common law, they'd actually throw in a couple little twists. It depends on how far back you go or what jurisdictions you're looking at. Because sometimes at common law, they said you have to break into the dwelling of another at night with intent to commit a felony. So let's get back to your wallet that you seem to keep leaving around in all my examples. If I broke into your home at night and I found your wallet and I grabbed it and I ran off with it, that'd be burglary. But the funny thing is that at common law, if you left your wallet in the garage and the garage was detached, when I broke into your garage, that's not your dwelling. That's just a garage. So that wouldn't be common law burglary. So a lot of states have codified it and said, if you break into any of the following, and they list these things as to what'll happen to you if you break into them to steal something. And then the question, of course, is what if you left your wallet foolishly knowing that I keep grabbing the thing? You left your wallet on your kitchen counter and I broke in during the day while you were at work and I stole it. I mean, it sounds like the same kind of crime that I could have done at night, but I did it during the day. And the funny thing is that was not considered burglary necessarily at common law. And you say, well, Steve, that's such a stupid distinction about whether the sun is up or not. No, the distinction really was they wanted to discourage people from breaking into homes where people were sleeping, because when you're at home and you're asleep, that's when you're presumably at your most defenseless. And also, that's like the most sacred place you can be. A man's home is his castle, right? So the idea, again, if we're going to punish crimes for how severe they are and match the severity of the punishment with the severity of the crime, then the worst thing you can do is break into my house while I'm here and steal something from my house, okay? So at common law, the distinction may have been made that you had to break into the dwelling of another and enter and commit a crime there at night, okay? So like I said, those may have been kind of overwritten by the rules that come along, but again, these things all were necessary at one time or another to make sure people understood this stuff. So the trespass element means that you don't have permission to be there. So we've all heard of the cases where somebody's got someone living in their home and one night that wallet disappears. Well, the person didn't break into the home. They had permission to be there. So that's a different kind of a crime. You've also heard of home invasion. A lot of areas have come up with a law. It's called home invasion, where you enter a home without permission or you overstay your welcome. There's a couple different ways that can happen. But again, we're talking about the common law issue. And the common law issue of burglary required the trespass element and also the breaking element, okay? And so the idea that the home is secured, I locked all the doors, and you walked up and you broke in somehow. And breaking in might actually require some sort of violence, some, you know, break a window or, you know, kick in the door or pry open a window. And the question becomes, what if you walked up and the door was open? Unlocked. You just walked in. Boom. There's that wallet I keep hearing about. Grab the wallet. Would that be burglary at common law? It might not be. But like I said, a lot of this stuff's gone by the wayside, but it's fun to think about this, if nothing else. I hope you think that. At common law, entering through a pre-existing opening did not constitute breaking. So if you came up to a house and the window was open and you climbed in and stole the wallet and ran off with it, yeah, that'd be theft, be larceny, but it would not necessarily be burglary at the common law. There's a couple other distinctions here. One of the funny ones is at common law, it had to be a dwelling. And like I said, that's where it gets really ugly. Because what if I broke into your attached garage and found the wallet there? Or what if you had a house and a guest house out back and I broke into the guest house and stole a wallet? Well, what if there's nobody staying in the guest house, but that wallet was in there for some weird reason? The wallet just keeps popping up, you know? And you start getting into these weird distinctions about what kind of a building it is and whether someone's actually staying there. And what happens if you break in at dusk? It's not night, is it? You know? So there's all these weird distinctions, many of which, by the way, would have actually been the province of the court to determine. So either the judge or a jury would be asked to determine, you know, you must find that this person broke into the dwelling of another at night with the intention of committing a crime therein. And each of those definitional things are up to you to decide whether or not they apply to this case. Again, like I said, a lot of this codified, it's been changed, but this is the stuff you learn about in law school. The requirement that it occurred at night was an essential element of the offense. Sunrise and sunset were not the means of determining night and day, though. The proper test was whether the countenance of a human could be discerned by natural light. I couldn't write stuff this funny if I tried. But the point is that, you know, if it happens in daylight and I can see you, it's presumed that it's a slightly lesser degree of danger than if you do it at night where I can't see what's going on. Hey, there's somebody in my house. What do I do? You know, do I pull out my Desert Eagle and start blasting away? Or do I actually have to like turn on some lights or light a candle or a lantern back in the old days? So those are all the things that go into burglary. Okay, so burglary, like I said, was a very serious offense at common law. The idea that you break into someone's home while they're sleeping and steal from them. It's a very, very dangerous situation, as you might imagine. Now, I wanted to talk about two more property crimes that are very, very interesting, and they're kind of related. One of them is embezzlement, because embezzlement is a form of stealing, but it's not quite the same. And we often think of bookkeepers, for instance, or people who run businesses. In fact, it seemed like for a while there was a whole epidemic of these, where you'd hear about somebody who's running an organization, they're embezzling the money. But embezzlement is the fraudulent taking of personal property, which can be money, by someone to whom it was entrusted. So you entrusted your money to somebody, you entrusted your stuff to somebody, and they took it and used it to their own benefit, and they did it against your property rights. Now, the distinction here, of course, is that there are people in a position of trust who handle stuff for other people. And the best example usually is a bookkeeper, somebody who runs a business and handles the funds. And, you know, that we take the day's receipts and we hand them to this person, they count them up, and they prepare the deposit, they take it to the bank, they reconcile the ledgers, and once a month they do a report, income and expenses, and they hand that over to their boss. And somewhere along the line, somebody goes, wait a second, money's disappearing here. And the fact of the matter is that this person's not stealing the money in the sense of larceny. They're not robbing it from anybody because they're not taking it from anybody by force. They're not burgling the money because they're not breaking into a house to get it. In fact, the money's being handed to them. So they're in possession of it legally. But when they start skimming the stuff off for their own benefit, at that point, it becomes embezzlement. So embezzlement can occur regardless of whether the defendant keeps it for themselves or actually hands it off to an accomplice. Okay. And embezzlement was a crime because thefts were occurring in which the elements of larceny, like I just said, could not be met because the thief had the right to possession of the funds. And so we often talk about this, about how the thief or the bad guy, for lack of a better word, came into possession of the stuff. Did they just see it and take it? Did they grab it from you? Did they take it from you by threat of force? Did they take it by threat of a weapon? Did they break into your house and steal it? Or was it already in their hands legally and they just misappropriated it? And that would be embezzlement. But the final thing I like to talk about is conversion. And conversion is not a crime in that sense. It's usually considered a civil action. But conversion is a deprivation of another's right to use or possess personal property. And it's not real property, but it's often considered to be the civil side of larceny. So if I hand something to you and say, here, go put this over there, or I hand you my car keys and go, hey, go park my car, okay? If you get in my car after I've handed you the keys, you have the right to be in my car. And if I said, hey, go park my car, you have the right to get in my car and drive it and go park the car. And of course, many of you are already thinking that when you take your car to the car dealership and say, hey, you know, here are my keys, you can drive my car to test it or check what's wrong with it. And then you discover that they took it for joy rides and were out shopping or running errands. And people go, what's the crime that's been committed here? Isn't it theft? Well, it's not theft because they didn't take it from you in that sense. They had possession of it legally, but they misused or overstepped that legal right they had to possess it. And when they did that, they converted it to their own use. And that can take forms of a variety of different ways. One of which is, like I said, I can lend you my car and you use it for the wrong purpose. Or you're holding money for somebody and you decide to spend it. And you'll say, well, that looks a lot like embezzlement. Well, in that case, it could be embezzlement. But the point is that while you can be arrested for embezzlement, you can be sued for conversion. And many states also allow you to sue somebody for theft or robbery or burglary or any of those things. And if you steal something from somebody, there's almost always a civil remedy, meaning that person can sue you if they want to get their stuff back. They usually don't have to, because usually a person will get prosecuted for the crime. As part of the crime, you know, punishment, they'll say, you'll do time, but you'll also pay this money back, make restitution. But be assured that in most states, you can also sue that person to get your stuff back if you're not happy with the way it went down in court, or if the person was never convicted, but you know who did it. So that's the other case. So conversion, generally speaking, like I said, the distinction is that you had it in your possession legally at one point in time, but you misappropriated it or you did something with it you weren't allowed to do. You overstepped the bounds of what you're allowed to do. So that, my friends, is the distinction. I hope you got it between, starting at the top, theft, larceny, robbery, burglary, embezzlement, and conversion. Hope you got all that, but there'll be no test. So I just hope you did. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.